How you been, sir?
Doing fine. No, it's been rainy. A lot of rain. Some mudslides here. So we're getting sick and tired of that, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, it's Seattle. Doesn't that come with the territory?
It does. Well, we've been getting a really lot of rain. So it's been one of the rainiest Marches so far, February and Marches. We've had a lot of rain.
Wow. Okay. Well, I try to stay happy.
Yes, we have plans how to build an ark on my website.
Oh, no. Okay, good, 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 good. Again, Herb, for those who might not know, give everybody your background and your consumerman.com website and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've been covering the consumer beef since about 1981 or so. I work at a radio station here in Seattle, and I also write a weekly column for NBCNews.com. I've been with them for about 11 years now. My past background in TV, I was on CBS This Morning, I was on the Today Show, and now I do the stuff for NBCNews.com and talk to you once a month.
I appreciate
that.
That's
really, really late.
I know, I appreciate that, and we're happy that you're here and you're live, and you'd be willing to answer some concerns and questions from people, correct?
Absolutely.
All right.
I always hear, by the way, every time we talk about this, I always get an email or two or a couple people join the newsletter I put out from the Chicagoland, so it's really nice.
That's cool. All right. Well, our phone lines and our text lines are open with any consumer questions or concerns. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Some of the stuff that you've written about, Herb, I want to get to, and we'll talk about that. But it is tax season. We'll get to that. We have a story about tax preparation as well.
Yep.
That we want to get to. But before we do that, one more time about how safe it is to do your taxes, over your smartphone, and what are the concerns about that?
Well, I don't do my taxes over the smartphone. I have somebody who prepares it for me, but I think you have to be careful. Anytime you use any kind of digital device whatsoever, you've got to make sure you're really careful, because as we've learned from all the WikiLeaks and everything else, digital stuff is not necessarily private or confidential. So you have to be really, really careful. And smartphones can have malicious software in them, just as normal computers can have malicious software in them. So you could be doing some insecure stuff on your smartphone. You just got to be really, really careful. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. I tend to do things with paper documents when it comes to taxes and that kind of thing. But if you're going to do anything on a smartphone, you got to be really, really careful what you're doing.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a good – they now make antivirus and anti-malware programs for free that you can get for your smartphones, both Apple and Android phones. Yes, there are malicious things that happen on Apple phones as well, and just make sure they're nice and safe before you do anything.
Right. And it's because that, at this time – and I've mentioned this before, Herb – at this time, televisions are kind of flooded with these commercials, for TurboTax and other, and reputable places. But, just how easy it is to do it over your phone. But people really do have to be careful.
And you also have to be careful about storing things in the cloud. I mean, we've had numerous problems with, I would never store my tax documents in the cloud because it's too easy for people can send you a phishing email. They can get your password. They can get in the cloud and they can do things. So that's some of the problems that have been had with this digital stuff. You just got to be very, very careful and keep as little as possible floating around in the Ethernet and keep a lot of it in your desk drawer locked up.
Got it. Okay, Herb, hang out, okay?
Okay.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the Consumer Man. Check out consumerman.com. And if you have any questions, 312-981-7200. Okay. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Fly Jams Friday coming up, all the regular Friday features as well. And Sarah Spain is going to join us from ESPN to talk about a benefit that she's going to be hosting and much more. Right now, Herb Weisbaum is with us, our good friend and Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, and you can check out all of his stories and subscribe to his newsletter at consumerman.com. He joins us monthly to talk about consumer issues and to answer your questions. 312-981-7200 is the phone number and text number. Welcome back, Herb.
Hello there.
All right. Let's talk about one of the first stories here that that you wrote. It's about the rate hike from last week that means that people really should get in there and pay off their credit cards, correct?
Absolutely, because if you're carrying that balance, you're paying a higher interest rate. The rate the Fed passed along to banks is going to get passed along to variable rate accounts, and your credit card's rates are going to go up. If they haven't this cycle, probably next cycle. The Fed has already signaled that it's going to do probably two more rate hikes before the end of the year, so the cost of having those unpaid balances is going to keep going up and up. And I was astounded to find out that the average household with credit card debt in this country has, you want to take a guess?
Well, I got the piece in front of me, so.
Oh, you cheat. Okay, you cheat. Okay. $16,748. When I found that was by NerdWallet, I couldn't believe it. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot.
People are carrying.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
And, you know, what the problem is that people, you see that large amount, and most families have about four cards, and they have different balances on them. And you, if you even want to start to be more responsible and pay down that debt, you don't really know where to start. So I was fascinated by this study that was done, that was published recently, and it basically talks about the ways that you can pay this off that will be a smart way to do it. Because usually there are three ways to do it. Either you just sort of throw money at each account and figure out, just pay a little bit off here and there. There's what's called a snowball account. You start with the smallest balance and work your way to the largest one. Or the avalanche way, you focus on the card with the highest interest rate, pay that off first, and then move on to the next. But there was a study done by a number of researchers across the country, and it was published in the Harvard Business Review. And they wanted to find out the best way, the most successful way to pay it off, because a lot of this, Nick, is, as you know, has to do with motivation. Mm-hmm. You got to keep wanting to make those payments every month and whittle down that debt. So they did a real-life study of people's actual credit card payments, anonymized, of course. They didn't know who the people were they got from this company. They also did a number of lab studies to test their theories. And their conclusion was the most likely way of success of paying down these multiple debts on multiple cards is to pay them off one at a time, starting with the lowest balance and work your way up to the highest balance. And the reason is because you'll have success sooner, and it also seems like you're doing more. For instance, a $100 payment on a $1,000 bill seems a lot bigger, and you did something more than a $100 payment on a $15,000 bill. You're taking a bigger chip away.
Right.
Feel better about what you're doing. The analogy they gave is when you run a marathon, you want to think about the next mile, the next mile, the next mile, as opposed to thinking, geez, I got 25 more miles to go. It's, you know, it's just a mental thing.
And so they say the preferential way is the debt snowball.
The preferential way is, the snowball. You're rolling downhill. You're picking up a little bit of speed. And really, they one thing the researcher said to me was, he said, I was really surprised. We thought it would have a big impact on people. But people who follow this routine actually tended to pay off 15%. They are 15% more successful than the people who didn't pay off this way. So it really seems like a good way you want to go. So, of course, you don't forget your other cards. You want to make sure you at least make the minimum payment or a little bit more on the other cards. Then you focus on the one card with all the extra money you have, get that paid off, and you don't want to spend extra to make up for this, of course. Pay off the next card with the highest debt, the next card, and get your way through. They seem to think that's the best way. One other interesting point that I found in the study, because you probably heard this about consolidating your debts, because it makes it a whole lot easier to manage everything in one big pile.
Right.
That may be for some people, and it may make a lot of sense if by consolidating you're getting a significantly lower rate than you were previously. But the problem is, of course, you have that same psychological barrier here, they said, which is you got that gigantic debt staring you in the face, maybe $10,000, $15,000, and again, your payments towards that big debt are going to seem a lot smaller. So if indeed you do consolidate, number one, do it for a reason such as you're going to get a much lower rate, but you've really got to keep yourself motivated, and you've really got to focus on realizing that it's going to seem like less, but I'm making towards my goal. It just takes a little bit more motivation to do things that way.
And the consolidation thing when I was in debt didn't work very well for me, and I had to do it a different way. But there is help available, right? I mean, you point this out in the piece that you wrote.
Yeah, that's the really, really important thing is, you know, there are all kinds of ads, but go to a nonprofit credit counselor. They're set up to help you, and they are serving you. And you can even get the initial consultation in almost every single case for free. They'll look at your situation. There's not one thing fits all for everybody. They tailor a program for you. The best way to find someone in your area is go to the National Foundation for Credit Counseling website, which is nfcc.org. nfcc.org, and that link is with a story on my website. And they will set up, give you a counselor, some nonprofit counselors in your area. They'll look at your situation. They'll give you a roadmap to follow. I don't know how your situation was, Nick, but I've actually talked to people who have gone to nonprofit credit counselors and literally had $80,000 in debt. It took them 3.5-4 years to pay it down, but today they're debt-free and they just bought a house. I mean, it can be done.
It's absolutely
not insurmountable. You just have to have a plan.
I'm living proof of that, Herb.
Yeah.
Okay. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it.
Herb Weissbaum is with us again. You can you can check out all these stories and subscribe to his newsletter, consumerman.com. And the link that Herb was talking about is there if you need help in that situation. Any and all consumer related questions, we'd love to hear from you. Talk or text 312-981-7200. The news is next. Now, hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell right after my show at 5, and then the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text later on for the Fly Jams Friday, which is coming up. And but right now we're talking with Herb Weissbaum. He's our good buddy, and he is an Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com and has the website consumerman.com, where you can check out all the stuff that we're talking about here and subscribe to his newsletter. And he joins us once a month to talk consumer issues and answer your questions. And if you have any questions, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And let's welcome Herb back to the show. Hi, Herb.
Hello there. Hey, before we start with the next topic, can I do something for a second?
Of course.
I'm working on a story over the weekend for Monday for NBCNews.com about people who've gotten in trouble co-signing loans for their kids or their grandkids, student loans, private loans for college. And I'm looking for somebody who's had a terrible experience by doing that, because a lot of people are getting into trouble. If anybody listening on the WGN blowtorch, 38 states and counting or whatever at this time of night, and feel like they want to share their story with me, I'm really trying to hear from some people. You can just send me an email, herb@consumerman.com, and tell me how I can reach you and I get back to you. I'd really like to hear some personal stories if that's unfortunately happened to somebody, because I know people are getting their credit scores ruined and their retirement's getting all bollocked up because of things that happened, and I'm just trying to track down a few folks. So maybe if someone's listening, I'd love to talk to you.
Okay. And one more time.
I'll tell you about that next time we get together.
Tell one more time for the email address.
Sure, real easy. Herb@consumerman.com.
Herb@consumerman.com. All right. We do have a text here from the 773 area code that says, I just want to thank Herb.
Oh, thank you.
I heard him on your show talking about ransomware. A few weeks back, I was surfing the web, and I got a scary pop-up telling me that I had a virus, and I had to call this number to save my computer. Remembering this was one of the ways hackers get to you, I didn't panic. I shut down my browser and proceeded on. So thanks, Herb.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Ransomware.
Yeah,
that's
still going around. I had somebody who fell for that and actually let the person in. They called them up. They let them into their computer, which is just so scary. But, you know, no computer company sends you. It doesn't pop up on your screen and say, hi, we've detected a problem. It just doesn't work that way. That's a bad guy doing that. You never let anybody unknown get onto your computer.
Right, exactly. Another story that we're working on, we were talking a little bit about tax preparation.
Yep.
But you wrote a piece warning people, beware of fake tax preparers who are going to steal your identity and take your cash. How can people be aware of this and keep themselves safe?
And it's not just fake. Some of them are just totally scammy. But what happens is, this is the time of year where we're going down to the finish line. April 18th is this year. We get a couple of extra days. 60% of the people have someone help them with their tax return. Anybody in most places can put out a shingle that says, I can do your taxes, pay me. So there's no training or qualifications required in all but four states in the country. And what happens is, there are some just bad apples that take advantage of the situation. They'll do one of two things. Either they'll try to put false things on your tax return to get you a bigger refund than you're entitled to, or number two, some of them will just take your personal information to commit identity theft because you don't know who you're dealing with. You haven't taken the time to check them out. So there are two really fraudulent things here. What a lot of people don't know is, if you think you're gaming the system by working with this fraudulent tax repair, I'll claim a deduction I didn't have, I'll change my tax status, I'll let them pad my business expenses or whatever, you are the one who signs that tax return. You are responsible for the information sent to the federal government, even if you pay somebody to prepare that return. So not only could they go after the tax preparer if they catch fraud, but they could go after you as well. So there could be fees, there could be penalties, criminal prosecution, depending on the situation. So obviously, I would never have anything to do with anybody who says anyway about, oh, we're going to get you more than you're entitled to. I'll get you the biggest deduction anybody could possibly get you, you know, that kind of thing. They want you to, some of the red flags I put in the story, believe it or not, some of these guys ask people to sign a blank return. I mean, you wouldn't sign a blank check. You're not about to sign a blank return.
Yeah.
They say their fee is based on the size of your refund. First of all, you can't do that. according to IRS regulations, because the whole incentive is to cheat if you're going to get, you know, a bigger fee based on the refund you're going to get. If they say they have some kind of secret the IRS doesn't want you to know about, I mean, come on, give me a break. And if there's anything you don't feel comfortable with, just don't do it whatsoever. I talked in the story, I know a former IRS inspector out here in the Seattle area, and he said it's amazing how many times we go in and buzz people, and they said, well, I just did it because, you know, they said it was okay to do, and I went along with the ride, and I knew it didn't feel right, but I just sort of, well, what the heck, I claimed a couple extra deductions. And that's not going to work. As I said, you're responsible for the return you sign, and you got to be really, really careful.
Yeah. You know, I've been lucky enough to been, you know, having doing my taxes with the same guy for almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I know he's totally legit, and it always works out well, but I can understand people who can, you know, but it, you know, the one thing that you mentioned, Herb, that I found astonishing, and I want to get back to that real quick. All but four states in the country?
Yeah, California, Maryland, New York, and Oregon require some kind of qualifications to be a tax preparer. Everywhere else, anybody can do whatever they want. And the really interesting thing is, a couple of years ago, the IRS wanted to start a certification program where you had to pass a test for basic knowledge and register with them and show you knew what you were doing. And it was actually a shutdown that was overturned by a court of appeals in Washington, D.C. that said that the IRS didn't have the authority to do that. So they can now take voluntary certification programs, and they can show you their certification with the Internal Revenue Service, but they can't be forced to do that because a court of appeals in D.C. said that was outside the jurisdiction of the Internal Revenue Service.
Wow. Okay. That's really something, though, that, like, 46 states can just – anybody can claim that they're a tax preparer.
Right, and one other really important thing, and this is too long to go into here, but it's all at the bottom of my article. A lot of people qualify for free tax preparation. Number one, you can go to Free File on the IRS website. You may be able to file your return for free if you make less than $64,000 in adjusted gross income. There are all kinds of volunteer programs that help you prepare your return. If you're a low-income person, if you're a senior, their AARP has a program. There's all these various programs to help people who don't know where to turn do stuff. As I said, it's too long to list, and there's a lot of links, but if you go to the story on my website, consumerman.com, it'll take you to all this free help, and there really is. And, you know, if you qualify for the IRS Free File, you're dealing with major tax preparation software companies. There are basically 12 companies taking part in this. They will do your return for and let you file your return for free if you have the income requirement of under $64,000. So you don't necessarily have to pay somebody to do your return.
Right. And all this stuff, by the way, is in your piece that you wrote, and it's at consumerman.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand also in your piece is that there are federal prosecutors are trying to catch the bad apples. Can you tell about the stories that you included there?
Yeah, I mean, they're working on catching these people, and these people, you know, go to jail. There were four cases I talked about in my story in just the first week in March, to give you an idea of how much of this is going on. I'll just give you one example. There was a federal judge in Orlando ordered a guy from Central Florida to pay a civil penalty of $950,000 for preparing false returns in a number of states. He got inflated refunds for clients by fabricating dependents, business expenses, and charitable deductions. That's normally what happens. They come up with ways to get you extra money back, but indeed, you're not entitled to them. And the IRS, they have these agents that go around and look for this kind of stuff. One woman I talked about in Omaha, sentenced to 18 months in prison for tax fraud. She created false returns in order to get several clients much larger refunds, and so she's going to go to behind bars for 18 months for doing this.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's fascinating stuff. And just everybody just, you know, be safe during this. And I know, you know, tax time is a stressful time for a lot of people, and also it's intimidating for people, you know, to do this. So that's another reason why they fall for these scams.
Yeah, and bottom line is, Nick, I guess, and I'm not trying to do a commercial for anybody, but if you don't know where to go, and it's a choice between somebody who says, I'll do your taxes for you, and something known, reputable, like H&R Block, where they train people or something like that,
yeah,
at least take the safe way out, as opposed to just somebody down the street who puts up a shingle. I mean, these little storefronts open for a couple of weeks a year, a couple months a year. You have no idea who these people are.
Yeah. Wow. Scary. All right. Everybody stay safe. You can always check out consumerman.com for more on this. We got a couple of texts that came in, Herb.
Okay.
847 area code says, to get out of debt, I cut up my credit card and only use my debit card. I'm almost paid off now, but I'm worried because I heard your credit score goes down if you don't use a credit card. Is that true?
Well, credit card is based upon the different things you do. And yes, if you have, the only way you get a credit score is by using credit. So first of all, I'd say that was a smart thing to do to cut up your credit cards, get everything paid off. And then I would get, if you think you have the wherewithal to do it, get one credit card or get one credit card with a low credit limit on it, something like that, and use that and just make sure you pay it off all the time and don't get yourself back in debt again. There's two reasons for that. Number one, it will help your credit score. And number two, as you and I have talked about, credit cards have a lot more fraud protection than debit cards. I would never use a debit card on an online transaction, that sort of thing. You always want to use a credit card because of fraud protection. So get everything paid off, and then if you think you have the stamina to do it, get a credit card and force yourself to only have one and to make sure you pay off the bill every single month. We do that in my house. A credit card is cash. If it's going to be charged, when the bill comes at the end of the month, I am going to be able to pay it. It's as simple. And I get the points and all the bonuses and all the perks of having a credit card, but there's no debt involved whatsoever. It's like, boom, it gets paid off, no interest payments.
Right.
And the bank's doing me a favor. Thank you very much.
Right. Yeah. And I have to say, Herb, that's what I did. I came back with one credit card.
Yep.
And I built up from there.
Yeah, they're not evil. Credit cards are not evil. A lot of people think that. And they have a lot of perks, a lot of benefits, and a lot of reasons to use them. You just have to know that you treat them like cash. If you respect what they are, as you're doing now, you're in great shape.
Yeah, yeah. I was just young and stupid when it came down to it. 224 area code said, I am using a nonprofit credit consolidation, but not for all my bills. Using my debit for everything else. Second time I have used credit consolidation other than 5 years ago. I joined Debtors Anonymous. Any advice?
Well, I don't know about those. And again, the benefit of consolidating is if you get a really lower interest rate. I mean, if you're going to save a lot of money by getting a lower interest rate, that's great. And if you work through one of these nonprofit credit counseling agencies, they may be able to actually negotiate with your creditors and bring down the amount you owe or the interest rate on what you owe. So that's the benefit with working with, as you know, with a nonprofit credit counselor. They can do a lot of stuff for you that you probably couldn't do on your own.
Okay. All right. Herb, hang on.
I will.
All right. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. You can read all his stories, subscribe to his free newsletter at ConsumerMan.com. He joins us once a month. We always have a great time with Herb. Once again, if you want to jump in here with a question or a concern, talk or text 312-981-7200. And we'll talk more with Herb coming up after we take this break on 720 WGN. Oh, yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, here till 5 a.m., live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. It's Friday, so that means our regular Friday features, including Fly Jams Friday, Nick D's Show Spies, Straight Out of Context, and You Big Dummy are all coming up. Plus, after 3 o'clock, Sarah Spain will join us. She rules. She's with ESPN, and she's going to be talking about a fundraiser that she's going to be hosting this Sunday called Hear the Cheers. We'll also talk some sports with Sarah. That's coming up after the 3 o'clock news. Right now, we are talking with our good buddy, Herb Weisbaum. He is an Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. You can subscribe to his newsletter and read all of his pieces at ConsumerMan.com. And let's welcome Herb back to the show. Welcome back, Herb.
Hello there. I never went anywhere, though.
Ah, no, you're still here.
That's right.
815 area code sends in a text that says, I work at a community center, and I see a lot of people who are trying to get help with their taxes. Our local AARP help office is swamped and can't help everyone, creating a lot of stress for people. I try to remind people that you can file for an extension, and that's better than rushing. That will buy some time, and then next year, hopefully, they'll be able to do it earlier in the year.
That's right. Except remember, if you owe any taxes, you have to pay them. The extension does not put off paying the tax that you owe. It just puts off filing the paperwork. But yes, you can file an extension.
Okay. And Joe has a question on WGN. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Kai. How are you?
All right.
Listen, briefly,
hi,
our philosophy, I love what you just said about 5 minutes ago. We always pay our bills, and my directions to the wife who makes all the checks, I say, gather all your checks, pay them weekly. I don't care if it's due in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. That way we're assured we're on time. So when she asked me, why does our credit rating vary? You know, we get our ComEd, whatever, so forth and so on. And the biggest variation I've noticed recently is it goes from 835 to 846 or something like that. What accounts for those minor variations if we all religiously pay our bills on time and sometimes, you know, well ahead of times? What are their variables are involved there?
Well, first of all, if you're in the 800, Joe, you have nothing to worry about. And stop checking your score and go to sleep and have a good night.
That's exactly right, man.
It's an algorithm that uses all kinds of things, and it's an instant snapshot of time. And if some little tiny thing is different on your report, like there's a balance on a credit card that's bigger than it was that one day when the report is written, or something like that, it can change the number. But it's not fixed in stone. It's always a snapshot of that second in time. You know, people are way too focused on credit scores. First, you know, it's like as long as you have a decent credit score, you're in great shape. It's not like, you know, if you have two more points higher than you were yesterday, you're going to get a place in heaven faster or something like that. All it means is, you know, if you're going to be able to do things like rent an apartment, get out a car loan, how much your interest rate's going to be on a credit card, and it's what range you're in. And if you're in the excellent range, which is you are, there's no reason to worry about a fluctuation of a couple of points. That's just how the computer is scoring you based on the algorithms they work on.
Yeah.
Give me your definition of an algorithm as it pertains to credit scores.
Well, what they use is a number of factors. You can go online, like the FICO, which invented the score, the credit score, Fair Isaac Corporation, and they show the major things that go into your credit score. Some of the big factors are, and the thing that will really drive down your credit score is if you pay late. That's one of the big no-nos. It's also the mix of credit you have. It helps your credit score if you have different kinds of credit. If you have revolving credit, if you have other credit, if you have a mortgage and a credit card, you know, and a car loan, maybe several, you know, not that I'm suggesting people open it for this reason, but if you had several credit cards and a car loan and a mortgage, the algorithm would look at that in one way as opposed to somebody who maybe just had a credit card and no other kinds of credit. There's different ways of rating your responsibility for paying things back. So they look at the kind of credit you have, the way you pay your bills, and they also look at the length of your credit history. So the older you are and the longer you have credit card accounts, the better that's going to score for you as long as you're good in paying your bills, which is why we say to people, and if you have an old account, there's no reason to close it unless you're never going to use it again, because one of the things you're judged on is the age of the score. So if you had a credit card that you just had around, you weren't using it, but you don't want to close the account, and you're not paying an annual fee on it, there's no reason not to keep the card. The bank may close you out after a couple of years, but as you start to roll out, the older the debt is, the better it is for your credit. You show a history of how well you are paying things.
Okay. All right, Joe, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Have a great morning. And Judy has a question as well. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I'd like to know how you get a credit score without giving your personal information like Social Security and paying for it.
Well, you don't have to pay for it, but you have to give out your Social Security number, because that's the way they get it out. That's the way you're tracked, is by your Social Security number. So you can. Some of your banks and credit cards will now give it to you for free. Many, many more are doing that as a service, so find out if that's being done. Like I know Capital One is now giving it to me for free, and a lot of the big credit card companies and banks. If that's not the case, you can go to one of a couple of websites. There's credit.com and there's creditsesame.com. and creditkarma.com, three reputable sites that will give you your credit score. It's an estimation. It's not an exact number. We all have many credit scores based on what kind of loans we're trying to take out, but it'll give you a basic estimation of your credit score every month. You will have to pick the one you want. You will have to give them your Social Security number, because that's how they find you in the credit bureaus. You will get some marketing stuff that comes based on that, which you can totally ignore. And it's a very good way, as I've told Nick before, by looking at your credit score every 30 days, you will have a snapshot of where you stand. So if you have a really good credit score, you're up in the 800s, nothing has changed in your life, and all of a sudden you're down to 650, something's going on here. Maybe I'm the victim of identity theft. Maybe somebody's doing something funky with my credit card.
Right.
So it's a very good way to keep an eye of where you're going on a month-to-month basis, to look out for some kind of fraud that may be happening in your life.
Okay.
So credit.com, Credit Karma, or Credit Sesame.
All right, Judy.
Okay, thank you so much.
Take care. All right. Herb, one last story that you wrote about, the difference between online shopping and brick-and-mortar stores, and you wrote a new piece about that.
Yeah, the American Customer Satisfaction Index came out taking a look at the holiday shopping season and found out that retailers, brick-and-mortar retailers, are doing a much better job of making people happy. Now, clearly, online shopping scores higher than brick-and-mortar shopping, and there's been a lot of stories about layoffs and store closures. We heard about Sears in the news today. But the brick-and-mortar stores are working harder at pleasing their customers. They went up almost 5% from the year before. One of the reasons they gave was, as fewer people are shopping at the store. There are probably fewer crowds. There's probably less line at the checkout
yeah.
out the door. That's not a sustainable business model, by the way.
No, it's not.
But they seem to think that's working.
And I like the what you broke down a little bit of what are America's favorite stores. How'd that come out?
Oh, sure. I'll go as long as we have time. Yep. For favorite stores, we have department stores. We have JCPenney. Let me see here. JCPenney came in at second place. Dillard's was number one. Dillard's was number one. JCPenney came in second, and we know what problems JCPenney has had.
Yeah.
Nordstrom was right up there, but it was the only store to see customer satisfaction decline a little bit, a drop of 2%, which was a little bit surprising, but they've been very successful, and they're really moving into the online a lot, and that may have had something to do with it. Then Kohl's, Macy's, and Target also satisfaction increased. Sears, despite what we just said, gained 8% in their satisfaction. And Walmart, which has been at the bottom of the list every single year, actually soared 9%, but the company was still at the bottom spot for that. Costco, top specialty store. I don't think that's any real surprise.
No, not a surprise.
They beat
no.
Sam's Club and BJ's Wholesale Store. And for supermarkets, falling prices are really making people happy with what they're buying at the supermarket. And let me see, number one again, no surprise. I assume you have them there, Trader Joe's.
Yeah, oh yeah.
86 out of 100 took the top spot, followed by Publix, 84, then Aldi, HEB, and Wegmans came in after that near the bottom. Giant Eagle and Walmart were near the bottom of the pile. And for Internet, Amazon blew all the numbers away. They had 83% out of a 100. So
isn't that amazing?
Really well.
That's
yeah.
amazing. Yeah, it really is. And well, I use
86.
86%.
86 out of 100. They went up 4% in the last year. That's just truly amazing.
It really is. But I use Amazon. I know everybody does, in fact. So
I look out my window at work every day and look over Amazon headquarters.
Right.
That's like all of downtown Seattle is now one gigantic Amazon.
Yeah. And it's going to continue to grow if they keep with numbers like that.
Which is why housing and rental prices are going up here like nobody's business.
Yeah. Herb, always a pleasure. Again, thanks. Can subscribe to your newsletter for free at consumerman.com. You can follow him on Facebook at Consumer Man and on Twitter at The Consumer Man. Herb, always a pleasure, and we will talk to you next month.
Be well. Talk to you in April.
Okay, take care. There you go. Herb Weisbaum, everybody, joins us once a month to help you with any and all of your consumer needs and questions. And again, go to consumerman.com, read his stuff, really interesting, very helpful, and subscribe to his newsletter. It's free and it's great, consumerman.com. And we'll hear from Herb again next month. All right, take a break. The news is coming up, and then Sarah Spain from ESPN is going to join us.